In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today. You know, when our Lord Jesus Christ had them on the Mount of Olives, and he ascended into heaven, and he said, "Go ye therefore into the whole world and preach the gospel," that's exactly what he meant, that we would go into the whole world and preach the gospel. Let me tell you what has happened in the last 40 years. So many Catholic missionaries, when they go to a foreign country and they meet with people that have other religions, they just leave them alone. They don't preach the gospel. They think, well, you know what, it's all the same. Well, I want to tell you it's not all the same. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It is not all the same. If that's what Catholic missionaries are doing, they are not missionaries anymore. Now, I know every missionary does not do that. That's why I say it is so important that missionaries and everybody be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that they would have this unction to go out and to preach the gospel and to speak the word of God. Not only priests, not only evangelists, but God's people. Go ye therefore into the whole world. The plan of God was that the whole world would be converted from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. This is the plan of God. And we saw that the reason why the apostles and the disciples finally left Jerusalem was that persecution broke out. Then we have the conversion of St. Paul. After St. Paul is converted and he becomes a new creation in Christ, he goes to synagogue after synagogue after synagogue and begins to preach the gospel. And as he preaches the gospel in synagogues, we heard just this week, they threw him out of the synagogue and they stoned him and left him for dead. And then the disciples, Barnabas and the rest of them, came around Paul, made a circle around him, and he went up and began to preach to the Gentiles. They left him for dead, and now he's alive. What is the difference between the Apostolic Church and the Church of 2011? First of all, ontologically, it's the same. If we talk about the essence, it's still the body of Christ. But what is the difference between the Apostolic Church and the Church of today? And I have one word. The word is power. The Apostolic Church believed in the power of the cross, in the power of the death, in the power of the burial of Jesus, in the power of his resurrection, in the power of Pentecost, in the power that he sits at the right hand of the Father, and we will do greater things than him, because he promised. What is the difference between the Apostolic Church and the Church of today? And it has to do with power. And I want to tell you there is no power shortage, but what shortage there is a faith shortage. There is a faith shortage because it is faith that pulls down the power. It is faith in Jesus Christ and in his redemption that brings the power to people. And, you know, there is nothing like a man or woman of faith or a man or woman of who lives by divine providence. There is absolutely nothing like it, because a man or a woman that lives by divine providence will see the action of God, will see God beginning to do things that only God knows how to do. People that live by faith, people that live by faith. You know, I was talking yesterday to a priest. I'm going to tell you a story. This beautiful story. What happened is that this priest in Belgium met a teacher. And they started to talk in Belgium. And the teacher was now a priest. And he used to teach in Belgium schools before he became a priest. And he spoke about the time of the war when out of nowhere they heard a whistle, which means a bomb was about to fall. So the teacher said to all the students, everyone on the floor, hide your faces. And that's what they did. And the bomb fell right outside the school. All the glass was shattered, but none of the children were hurt. All right? That's the first part of the story. Second part of the story. This very priest that heard this from the teacher, who is now the priest, is now in Beverly, and he's reading the paper and having his lunch by the ocean. It's a nice thing to do, you know, when you live in Beverly and you're by the ocean. So he brought a sandwich and his paper, and he's reading it. And this man comes, he sees he's a priest, and he starts talking to him. And the man says, you know, I've never shared this with anybody, but since you're a priest, I want to share this with you. He says, there's something that really torments me. Something that really torments me. And he says, what is it? He said, you know, during World War II, I was not the pilot, but I was the one who released the bomb. And the pilot said to me, I want you to release this bomb in Belgium. He said it was near a school. And I've been tormented and said, how many people did I kill? And the priest said, I have another story to tell you. How God has arranged this, I don't know. But I met the teacher of that school. And the teacher of that school told me about that bomb. And everybody was safe. Only the windows broke. No one was dead. And the Lord has made an arrangement for me and you to meet today so that you might know that you don't have to be tortured any longer. Now, if that's not divine providence, I don't know what is. That God takes a priest who hears a story in Belgium and brings the man who dropped the bomb in Beverly to meet that same priest to tell the story. Isn't that amazing? You see, when you live by faith, things begin to happen. When you live only by sight, nothing happens. Nothing happens. And we must always remember that faith is preceded by grace. It is all about grace. I'm reading from the 15th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Certain Jewish men, which came down from Judea, taught the Gentile brethren that unless you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, this is something, you know, I call this the Christian police. We still have them. We're not going to look at this passage right now. We're going to think about the Christian police of today. Some people would say, well, you cannot be saved unless you speak in tongues. No, I'm sorry, Christian police. That's not true. Other people would say, you cannot be saved unless you have a devotion to the Blessed Mother. I want to tell you, Christian police, you're wrong. Other people would say, you cannot be saved if you wear lipstick and short dresses. Christian police, I don't think so. You're a smoker. You cannot be a saved person. Saved people do not smoke. We have had Christian police for 2,000 years. Now, these police are Jewish, and what they're saying to the Gentiles, in order for you to become real Christians, you know what you need to do? You need to be circumcised after the law of Moses and after the law of Abraham. And then you'll become real Christians, but because right now, you're not Christians. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other men of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So they're going to go see James, and they're going to go see if Peter is there and speak to them about this whole experience. But he tells us in the letter to the Galatians, the third chapter, O foolish Galatians, Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes, through preaching, Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only will I learn of you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by being circumcised, or by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit, does he work miracles by doing it through works of the law, circumcision, or by hearing with faith? You see, St. Paul on the road to Damascus was circumcised. St. Paul on the road to Damascus was not only circumcised, but he was of the tribe of Benjamin, which was the favored tribe because Benjamin was born in the Holy Land. St. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was taught by Gamaliel. St. Paul had it all. That rhymes too. St. Paul had it all. But yet on the road to Damascus, he met Jesus, and Jesus changed his whole life. He had already been circumcised. He already was a Roman citizen. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was schooled by Gamaliel. But yet, it meant nothing until he met Jesus. You see, if anybody would be for circumcision, it would be Paul. But Paul knew that on the road to Damascus, it's not circumcision or uncircumcision that makes any difference. It's becoming a new creation. It's meeting Jesus. It's allowing Jesus to change your heart. You see, the Christian police have always been working, and they still work today, okay? They still work today. You know, some people will say, you know, how could the Pope be a Christian? He lives in utter riches. How can Benny Hinn be a Christian? He has a big house in California, and even is he's divorced. I'm telling you, the Christian police are always judging people, and we cannot judge people, okay? We don't have the right to judge people, and we do not have the right to be Christian police. How did you hear, Galatian people? It was all about grace, grace that led to faith, and faith that led to good works, but it's all about grace. It's about the grace of God that flows from the cross of Jesus Christ. It's about the grace of God that flows from Calvary. It's about the grace of God that Jesus Christ, when blood and water poured forth from his wounded heart, that brings us into salvation through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all about grace. Grace leading to faith. How did you believe? By works of the law, by becoming circumcised. You see, in Galatia, the Judaizers were coming in, and they said the same thing. In order to be a real Christian, you've got to be circumcised. You've got to become a Jew in order to be a real Christian. And St. Paul said, O foolish Galatians, who has put a spell on you? Who has bewitched you? You saw Jesus Christ crucified by my preaching, and what happened to you? Did you receive Jesus Christ by faith, or did you receive Jesus Christ by works of the law? You know, you were uncircumcised. Why do you need to be circumcised? Don't listen to these Christian policemen. These Christian policemen will only divert you from the truth. But you see, this is something that we all need to hear, and this is what it is. It's so simple. Listen, when we throw grace out, the law will always take its place. The law will always take its place. And the best of us can do it. Okay, I'll give you some examples. Some people are going through the Life in the Spirit seminar. And the fifth week is the week that we pray for the baptism of the Spirit. That's a good thing, because we're laying down a foundation of teaching and of giving our life to Jesus. That's a good thing. But some people cannot make the fifth week. Should we pray for them for the baptism of the Spirit? The Christian police would say, no, you can't. Because they haven't finished the seminar. You know what I say? It doesn't depend upon the seminar. It depends upon grace, and it depends upon their hunger. They want to be prayed with for the baptism of the Spirit. Well, we're going to pray for the baptism of the Spirit. I'll never forget when we were in Cambridge so many hundreds of years ago, it seems, and there were these people from Petersham dressed to the hilt, and here we are dressed in shorts looking like bums. And I remember Marge Broccoli said, "Honey, share your witnesses with these people because these people are hungry and they need the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight." And you know what? We took care of it that night. We didn't wait to send them through seminars. They were hungry. You see, things that are good, when they become law, they destroy. They destroy. I'm not saying that God did not use Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses to teach circumcision. That's real. But I am saying that the cutting of the flesh makes no difference. Even it says in the Old Testament, Jeremiah says, "Circumcise not your flesh, but circumcise your hearts, that hearts may be circumcised." Do you understand what I'm saying? But you see, there'll always be policemen to go back to the Torah, go back to the law, go back to works of the flesh, St. Paul would say. And what does he say to these Galatian people? He says to the Galatian people, "You are foolish Galatians. Who put a spell on you? Who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus was evidently set forth as crucified," that happened through his preaching. "This only I want you to know. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" And then he will tell us that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That the law was a schoolmaster until faith came. You see, if the law was enough, then Jesus Christ died in vain. Because that's really what you're saying. The Judaizers were coming into Galatia, and they were saying, "You've got to become Jewish. The men have to be circumcised." If the law was enough, then Jesus Christ died in vain. And I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus did not die in vain. He died for us and for our salvation. He died for our sins. He died to reconcile us to the Father. It is through his blood that we are reconciled. It is by grace through faith that we are reconciled. It is by grace through faith that we become one with God. And who was the great apostle that could say that? St. Paul. St. Paul had it all. Yep, I'll say it again. St. Paul had it all when it came to being Jewish. And you see, in the early church, there was this struggle. What do we do with the Gentile believers? Do we make them Jewish and then they become Christian? But the Holy Spirit already spoke in Cornelius's house. They became Christians, speaking in other languages, prophesying, giving their life to Jesus, not through the law, but by hearing with faith. And they became a changed people, not through the law, but by hearing with faith. And it's still that way today. You know, people say, "Well, you know what? You want to get healed, you make this novena, and that's the only way you're going to get healed." Now, I'm not telling you that God's not going to use a novena, okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, no, that's not the only way. Jesus is the only way. You know, you want to get close to God, you've got to pray the rosary. I'm not telling you you've got to pray the rosary, but rosary will bring you closer to God. I know so many people, it's brought so many people closer to God. But it's not a must, and it's not a law, okay? It's not a must, and it's not a law. You know, you're saved only if you speak in other languages. I don't agree with that. I believe in the speaking with tongues. I speak in tongues all the time. You know what St. Paul said? "I speak in tongues more than you all. Hallelujah." That's what he said. I speak in tongues. But you want to know what? Tongues is not the thing that says I'm saved, becoming a new creation in Christ. It makes no difference if you're circumcised or uncircumcised. What makes the difference is that you become a new creation in Christ. So my question is this. Have you ever become a new creation in Christ? That's my question. Do you know him? Do you know him? Like, do you know him? Have you experienced the love of God poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit? Is Jesus just an historical figure? Do you live by the law rather than by grace? I'm asking you these questions because if you don't know him, you need to know him. If you're just a legalist, I'm going to tell you, that's not going to get you anywhere. Because Paul was a legalist and he was killing Christians. Paul was a legalist and he was killing Christians. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not about legalism. It's not about the law. Because if the law was enough, then Jesus Christ died in vain. But our Lord Jesus Christ did not die in vain. He died so that you might be put right with God, that your sins would be forgiven, that you might know him in the power of his death and in the power of his resurrection. So you pray with me. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it with me and mean it. Let's invite him in. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. For circumcision or uncircumcision means nothing, St. Paul says, but a new creation in Christ. Jesus said it a different way. Unless a man be born again by water and the Spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless we be born again by baptism and the Holy Spirit, we shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has come that we might have life, the life of grace, and not the life of the law. The law was a schoolmaster. It was good for its time. But now we've graduated. We've gone from the law to the grace of the living God. So you pray with me. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. I surrender my heart to you, Jesus. I surrender my love to you, Jesus. Come and dwell in my heart by faith. I believe you died on the cross for me. And if I were the only one, you would have died for me. If I were the only one, you would have died for me. If I were the only one, you would have died for me. Wash me clean with your precious blood. Cleanse me of my sin. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my life to you. And I pray the Holy Spirit would do his work now, that we would not only know about Jesus, but that so many people would know Jesus and the power that flows from his resurrection. More of your Spirit upon these people, Lord, and heal their bodies even now. Heal their throats even now. Heal their necks even now. Heal their arms even now. Heal their lives even now. Heal eyes in the name of Jesus now, Lord. Heal fingers in the name of Jesus through the blood that was shed at Calvary. Heal your people, Lord. Heal your people. Forgive your people. And let us know it is by grace we are saved through faith, created for good works. It's all about grace. It's all about grace. Grace that has been merited for us on the cross of Jesus Christ. When Jesus gave his life for us, it's all about grace. It's all about grace. It's all about grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Listen, I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We're going to be praying today at the Holy Rosary Rectory at 1:30, and you're welcome to come. Hallelujah, bring your tambourines. Hallelujah, bring your pots and pans. We're going to raise the roof and praise his holy name at 1:30. I want to also remind you that it's Sunday evening. We praise the Lord at the rectory at 7:30, and you're welcome to come. Next Wednesday, we will be at the Espousal Retreat House, and you're welcome to come. And Jimmy the Roofer is 617-519-0341, 617-519-0341. He shingles, he does everything. And I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.